Last week, two people helping to solve the Flint water crisis were recognized by Time magazine on its list of most influential people. Virginia Tech engineer Dr. Mark Edwards and Dr. Mona Hannah Atisha are credited as whistleblowers in exposing the danger Flint residents were facing from lead in their water. But many more anonymous Flint residents are also intensely involved in addressing the city's water emergency. Our first guest today is one of them. Melissa Mays is a co-founder of the activist group Water You Fighting For. The Mays family has been hit hard by health issues due to high levels of lead in the family's drinking water. She's been one of the most active and outspoken critics of government officials in the crisis and is a participant in two lawsuits stemming from it. Melissa Mays, thank you for joining Current State today.
Thank you for having me.
Some background, please. Talk to us about how city water impacted the health of your family.
Well, I mean, it was one of those things to where, you know, I'd turn on my faucet and the water would come out yellow and you'd look at it and say, okay, that's weird. But again, they made a big to-do about the water switch and that it would take some time to kind of level out, and river water was different than lake water. It was just hard water. There was all these excuses, and at the time, I knew absolutely nothing about water chemistry or treatment, so I just accepted it as, you know, they're working on it. You know, our city and state will take care of us because that's what we pay them to do. January of 2015, after months of getting sick, my youngest had pneumonia in the summertime, which now we're concerned it was Legionnaires. My middle child had fallen off his bike and his wrist shattered, so we were wondering why his bones were becoming so brittle. And my oldest had already started developing holes in the smooth sides of his teeth, which is unheard of. You know, they're adult teeth, and you shouldn't be getting cavities in the smooth sides. But, you know, I figured, okay, you know, this is the way life goes. It's kind of fine. And I had become sick myself with an upper respiratory infection that I could not get rid of. And when I coughed, the phlegm actually tasted like bleach, which is really gross and really weird. And when I explained it to urgent care, as well as the fact that my bones were hurting, they didn't know what to do with me. Now, come to find out, the bleach taste, of course, was the total trihalomethanes, the TTHMs, that were had been in our water for 9 months, and nobody decided to tell us. And then bone pain is a sign of lead poisoning, which, of course, nobody had said anything about heavy metals. So in January of 2015, we received a letter that said, oh, for the past 9 months, your water has been contaminated with a carcinogenic byproduct. Whoops. We didn't have to tell you, so we didn't. And, you know, consult your physician before consuming the water, but it should be fine. Now, my doctor knows absolutely nothing about water treatment either. So when I called to ask about it, he was completely lost. The doctors weren't even notified that this was coming. So people started to panic. And, you know, what we do is we just go online, go to Google, start doing research. We started reaching out to Erin Brockovich, and she hooked me up with Bob Bocock, who's been in water treatment for 30 years. And we started finding out that these were very dangerous byproducts, and they could be inhaled as well as absorbed in the shower.
So you are still facing health issues today as a result of what started 2 years ago?
Oh, definitely. I have been off of work since January 7th of this year. Seizures, tremors, they removed polyps from my stomach, which can be caused by bacteria in the water. We also had several different E. coli breakouts in our water system. And then I've got breathing issues, as well as I've developed osteoarthritis in a severe form. I've got bone spurs from my neck all the way down to my feet.
Everything you're describing, you can attribute to the quality or the poor water, the lead tainted water that you drank for a while?
Yes. Yeah. And it's not just the lead, unfortunately. There's lead, copper, aluminum. There's tin has been found, as well as all of these, the chloroform and all these other cancer causing byproducts. So, and then you add the bacteria on top of it, it just knocked a lot of people out. There's a lot of sick people here, but we're continuing to fight. My sons are struggling. The past 2 days, my sons have been getting tested for autoimmune disorders because it damages your DNA. A lot of these byproducts can damage your DNA as well as the heavy metals.
Okay,
so they're getting checked for autoimmune disorders.
You are struggling with a lot of issues. You've got three boys, ages 11 to 17. You're married, so you're a family of five altogether. Let's talk about the mission of What Are You Fighting For? What are you trying to get done?
Well, to start off, my husband and I formed the group because we built a website. That's what he does. He's a webmaster. And I wanted to get the information that I was finding through the research and talking to Aaron Brockovich and Lois Gibbs and different environmental experts. I wanted to get that information out to the residents because what we were being told is be quiet, it's fine. Just because it's discolored doesn't mean it's unsafe, you know, which you wouldn't look at brown or yellow water and think, oh, that's perfectly healthy. But that's what we were being told. So that was our first, you know, goal was to inform everyone. But we went ahead and started protesting. We had huge marches. We held all of these rallies and educational meetings to take the information we'd learned from the experts, as well as an environmental physician I was working with, on how to protect yourself and then what to do to try to detox all of these chemicals out of your body. And that's what we're still doing. And now we've taken to the courts. We're involved in several lawsuits to change the way that the MDEQ tests, monitors, and notifies people to force the state to replace these service lines. And it's not just the lead. Galvanized right now, they're finding higher levels of lead in the galvanized pipes than they are in the lead pipes. And so this is, it's a complete disaster. The pipes are destroyed. So we have to force this to happen, as well as forcing medical care, because we still have none as of now.
Melissa Mays is an activist and community organizer in Flint. We're talking about how the water crisis has impacted her and her family. She's the co-founder of the group What Are You Fighting For? You can learn more at whatareyoufightingfor.com. She's also participating in two lawsuits, as she said, relating to the water crisis. Now, Mayor Weaver and other city officials held a town hall meeting late yesterday. I know you were unable to attend that. You attend most of these, I take it, but you were unable to attend last night. But I want to ask you about a few of the topics that came up last night and just get your take. The removal of lead pipes appears to be topic number one in terms of moving forward. And the new plan is to target specific sections of the city where lead concentrations are the highest. What do you know about this approach, and what do you think of it?
This is way better than what the state had picked. The state had chosen to do just random service lines across the city. But the thing is you cannot replace one service line on a main without really stirring up the contamination in the neighbors. So I think it's great that they are focused on a section, because typically if there's one lead service line there, there's many. And then what they're finding is sometimes the service line's galvanized or copper, but the connection is lead at the main. Mm-hmm. So that section has to go. So I think that that's way better. I'd actually spoken with General McDaniel before, and he had said that this is what they were trying to work on once the city got some kind of control over this replacement program.
So close to 40 lead service lines have been replaced so far, but it appears at this point it's going to take a while longer to determine which lines are lead or galvanized or what they are. So additional work is going to have to wait. You are forced to play more of a waiting game. How frustrating is that?
Well, it's horrifying, because you never know when a small piece of the lead is going to break off in the pipes, and it can poison your entire family. There's a family near me that just like a week ago, their test came up 22,900 parts per billion, and 15 is the absolute max. Anything over 2 is a concern. So we're looking at 23,000 almost. So this can happen anywhere at any time, and it is completely, as Mark Edwards called it, Russian roulette. It's horrifying, because there aren't really ways to protect yourself from that. Because, again, we're still showering in this, and everybody's focused on the lead. Well, we're working with other researchers. There's all these other chemicals like 1,4-dichlorobenzene, chloroform. I mean, there's so many other scary things. We're coming into Legionnaire season, and Legionnaires can and has killed people. So that's what's scary right now, and they can't even tell us any way to possibly protect ourselves. So until these contaminated pipes are out, we're not safe at all. And we are very frustrated, because it's been 2 years.
Have you been tempted to leave Flint?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But unfortunately, I'm a homeowner, and I've had my home for 7 years, so I will get nowhere near what I owe on the house. My son's going into college. I can't file bankruptcy because I need to support him with his student loans. But on the other hand, we can't sell our home. First of all, I don't know who would want to come into Flint and say, yes, I'll buy your poison water house. And on the other hand, you know, I don't think I could morally sell my house to someone else, knowing that it's poisoned my family, say, good luck with yours. You know, I just can't. can't. And we don't have the money because I'm off work still and unpaid sick leave to be able to go somewhere else, pay rent while still covering our mortgage. So we are like most of the people here, we're stuck. And on the other hand, we don't want to leave because we want to continue to fight and make this right for everyone else who is absolutely stuck here.
Last week, two DEQ employees and a City of Flint water employee were charged by the state with crimes for their roles in the water emergency. What do you think of that development?
I think it's a good start, a small, tiny step, because these people were low on the totem pole and somebody else had to be giving them their instructions. I know Mike Glasgow. I've met with Stephen Bush. Again, I'm infuriated because the MDEQ was in charge of this entire project because we were, of course, state-run, you know, under emergency management. Our city officials had no say. And actually, Mike Glasgow did speak out and say that the plant's not ready, the water's not ready. If water goes out, it's against my direction, and the MDEQ did it anyway. So I'm hoping that they put these place these charges on these individuals to find out more of who told them to do what. Everything so far that Mike Glasgow's charged with, well, he was told to do by Mike Prisby. So this, again, you know, just following orders is not a good excuse, and he really shouldn't have. But there's a lot of, you know, rumors swirling around about threats and all this. So we're just wanting to see what their testimony is actually going to be and who they're going to uncover during this mess.
There are so many parts to this enormous problem, Melissa. What single thing, I hesitate to ask you this because it's just, it reduces just an enormous complicated problem, way too much. It oversimplifies it, I guess you could say. But what single thing would benefit residents most who are enduring this right now?
I think that the state should settle with the families since the state did this to us. I think that they should allow the families, you know, a settlement so that way they can, you know, replace their own pipes inside their homes because, again, the service line is just one part. Put in whole home filtration to protect them and get medical care or just move, just pay the house off and leave. I think the state should settle to give the people that option and be able to protect ourselves since that's what they took away from us by lying to us for a year and a half saying it was safe.
You're looking into issues involving bathing. We focus on water to drink, but I mean bathing is also an issue, and you're exploring that. What are you learning?
Well, there's three pathways to exposure for any kind of contaminants. There's ingestion, so drinking, or cooking, but then there's also inhalation and dermal absorption, which we hit in the shower. And then also we're finding so many contaminants in the water heater that no one's even testing the water heaters. And that can, first of all, incubate all this bacteria and then condense all these heavy metals. We're finding high levels of lead in the water heaters, and that can be shipped out at any moment. And newer water heaters are just completely destroyed. I'm on number three in my household because the first one died, the second one caught on fire. And so I'm on number three since the switch. And but then when you're taking a shower, you're inhaling all of these clouds of steam, which are full of those TTHMs and the cancer-causing byproducts and chloroform. So when you get out, we have rashes, hair loss, we're dizzy, we're tired, we're sick. People like me have to go get inhalers, and I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I don't have asthma or COPD, but I have so much damage to my lungs that I need to have that handy. And the thing is, we're finding there's so many more people like me. And then Legionnaires is basically when Legionella is released into steam in the shower. Then you inhale it. So we are in danger every time we take a shower.
Governor Snyder has started drinking filtered Flint water for 30 days. What do you think of that?
Well, within a week, he went off to Europe, and they said that it wasn't 30 days in a row. He went to a home that has 5 parts per billion, which, of course, zero is what you need. But he didn't go to the family that I know is 7,000 parts per billion, or the family with 11,000 parts per billion, or 22,000 parts per billion, and live like they do. Live like the rest of us, where we have to wait in line at fire stations to get your one case of water per day ration. He doesn't have to shower in this and come out with burnt skin and your hair falling out in clumps, and you try not to, you know, lose it when this happens to your kids. He doesn't have to go through this. So it's just a slap in the face that he said he was going to drink, you know, filtered water for 30 days because there's still homes without filters even. So it's just not acceptable. And nobody here in Flint bought it. We just said that was ridiculous. Please get him out of our city.
We've got 30 seconds, Melissa. Generally, do most people of Flint support Mayor Weaver and her efforts here to move forward with this?
Yes, because we feel she's one of the few people that are fighting for us, along with Sheldon Neely, Phil Phelps, and Jim Ananick, as well as Congressman Kildee. We feel that she's the one that's going to spearhead our actual change.
Melissa Mays is an activist and community organizer in Flint. We've been talking about how the water crisis has impacted her and her family. She's the co-founder of the group, What Are You Fighting For? Learn more at whatareyoufightingfor.com. She's also participating in two lawsuits relating to the water crisis. Melissa Mays, thank you and good luck.
Thank you for having me.